You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's over now.
Hi, this is Tiamba Wilkerson. Anna is actually on her way, so we're going to fill in for her, but I just want to welcome you all to Defenders Live on WRIR. And I'm actually going to start the show with Sunny Gardner. So just want to get started. Actually, today we're going to be speaking on the Trayvon Martin case. That's, you know, big news right now going on. And so I guess just to get started, Sunny, you know, what are your thoughts on the case? And
well, I'm amazed that people who are actually committing crimes are still out there romping around. And I feel kind of lame because all I can do is wear a hoodie. There's nothing I can do about it except encourage people to speak out and to continue the movement that Trayvon's parents have begun, mm-hmm. where we're actually trying to get the perpetrator of the crime to be arrested.
Well, yeah, and actually now I think maybe I should give people a little bit of background in case you aren't familiar with the case. There is a young man in Florida who was shot and killed by a neighborhood watch captain, a quote-unquote neighborhood watch captain. Apparently because the man who killed him claimed it was self-defense. And but, you know, most people feel like the evidence points to murder, really. And so actually Anna just stepped in.
Yes.
So I'm gonna have Anna come in and
I'll,
you know,
I'll pass the
reopen
headset.
The show and
welcome Anna.
Wow. Well, thank you very much, Sunny Gardner.
And I'll see you at the market.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, thank you for taking on this very important subject.
No problem. Yes.
And thank you, Tiamba. And yeah. I apologize to my audience. Things
it's
happen
one
on
of
a
those
Monday.
Mornings.
Just
yes.
is.
Yes. Yeah. The same thing. I was actually driving down the street and a dollar bill that I needed to go through the toll flew out of the window.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Great start to the week.
It is Monday. So you have just, were you at the press conference this morning?
I was not.
Okay. I just got off the phone with Phil Woledo, who's mm-hmm. the editor of the Virginia Defender newspaper, and he had just come from the press conference, which took place at the Virginia State NAACP covering the Slave Trail Commission resolution by Cynthia Newbill. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that a little mm-hmm. bit later on in the show. And as I walked in, of course, you were mm-hmm. talking about the case of Trayvon mm-hmm. Martin. And that was this weekend we were at an anti-war conference up in Connecticut.
Right.
And Trayvon Martin's name came up in almost every single
workshop. Right.
Yeah.
I heard some of the audio. I mean, because it's significant. It's like it's a glaring example of you know,
war.
What we're up against.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And you think about the fact that Trayvon Martin isn't alone. Just, you know, the other day on Facebook, I'm reading about another young lady in Chicago who was killed by a police officer.
Right.
There is another young man in Atlanta who was murdered by security guards.
Mm-hmm.
There's another sister in St. Louis who was actually denied medical care in St. Louis and was arrested for refusing to leave the hospital. She died in jail.
Oh, my God.
You know, see, you know, you see that as sad and tragic as Trayvon Martin's case is, it's not.
It's one of many.
Right.
It's one of many.
Right.
You know, some of the things that are unique about the case were, you know, that we actually got to hear the audio of both the
right.
perpetrator, the murderer,
mm-hmm.
and Trayvon.
Right.
Calling for help.
Help. Right.
You know, his last moments. And that's devastating.
Right.
And, you know, it's disheartening in some ways that we have to be devastated so often.
Mm-hmm.
In order for us to remember to pay attention and remember right. that these things are still going on and that we have to do something about them. And, you know, part of the point of the reason that his name would keep coming up at a, you know, nationwide anti-war conference, no matter what the topic was, right. you know, no matter what the workshop was because we were talking about war on people,
right.
the war on people.
right.
And you know, if you, it doesn't matter which community you're standing in, and it doesn't matter if you're in Mali where they just had a mutiny, you know,
right.
in the government and, you know, people are not sure whether to call it a coup d'etat or a mutiny.
Right.
Or you're talking about Honduras, or you're talking about Colombia, if you're talking about Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq,
right.
You know, Palestine, all these places, we're talking about wars on people. And one of the difficulties, I mean, it was sort of this double-edged sword for Trayvon's case and what that represents for mm-hmm. the war on the Black community.
Right.
You know, was the fact that you know, we had to address the fact that this component seems to be missing from those kinds of dialogues.
Exactly.
You know, it's like the war on people at home
right.
is connected to the war on people
right.
in other places.
Right.
And if we are not paying attention to the repression, and, you know, and if you I think when people think we are saying, you know, talk about the wars at home,
mm-hmm.
that we are saying forget about the
right,
wars abroad.
Exactly.
And what we're really saying is that we have the ability to hone our skills
right.
to fight repression and oppression here at home that we can take abroad so that
exactly.
we understand that this looks just like that.
Right.
And if this is wrong here, it's wrong there. If it's wrong there, it's wrong here. And we have to continue to make
those
connections.
Right,
yeah.
right, exactly, exactly.
Wow. I guess, do you need me to introduce the show? Or
I think I did a somewhat adequate
well,
opening.
That's how it happens, you know.
You may want to, you know, go through your opening again, because I'm sure yours is a lot, you know, more eloquent and complete than mine.
Well, no, I'm not going to assume that at all, because I know you. But, you know, to go through the formalities of welcoming
right.
people, to reminding you that you are listening even at the 9-minute mark to Defenders Live here on WRIR. And this show is brought to you by the Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality. And to learn more, you go to our website at that's the email. DefendersFJE@hotmail.com is the email. The website, DefendersFJE.org. And, of course, there's the blogspot, which is DefendersFJE.blogspot.com. So Tiamba Wilkerson is the leading co-host today.
Oh, goodness.
And, and this is it, Trial by Fire.
Right.
And thank you, Emma, for being our engineer today.
Yes.
Yes. And thank you, Harvey, for, you know, always fielding me when I do this, which I hopefully don't do too often. And and again, thank you, Patricia Stansbury, for setting in for those first few minutes to help things go smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this case is really amazing. When we were in the, I think we were in a rest stop on the way back
okay.
from Connecticut, and there was an issue of the Daily News, New York Daily News.
Mm-hmm.
And on the cover, the Black Panther Party was calling for a $10,000,
right.
you know,
bounty, yes,
on
reward.
George Zimmerman,
right.
You know, for him to be arrested, captured
right.
and arrested. You know, that was...
Right.
That was something.
Right.
But, you know, it sort of goes to the point that this particular case, you know, is once again making us think what it is we need to be paying attention to.
Right.
We have to watch out for people who want to be opportunistic around this
right.
This issue, because it deflects away from, you know, the tragedy of what the family is continuing to go through. And, you know, what's sort of, you know, what takes you back also is that we're getting excited, and it's only been a week.
Mm.
You know, in a way, or 2 weeks at the most for us, but Trayvon died on February 26th, I
right.
think. Yeah.
A month ago.
Yeah, and the things that are coming out about the way this case is handled, the way that Florida could actually have some kind of law that would cause a law enforcement official to not do anything
mm-hmm.
about this boy's death.
Right.
Boy,
I mean, right.
boy,
let's
boy.
Remember that. Exactly.
Minor. He is
exactly.
a child.
Exactly.
You know, I'm looking at my 14-year-old son and my other son who's just turning 20. And I remember thinking at a certain point, I thought, I said, when they hit 13, I felt like they are now completely open to total victimization by the arbitrary forces of, mm-hmm. you know, law enforcement and, you know,
right.
random acts of horror.
You know, neighborhood watch captains.
Yeah.
Self-appointed neighborhood watch captains.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, talking about Trayvon's family and every day I read and there are, you know, more and more you're starting to see attempts to discredit or make Trayvon look like the aggressor, make him look like the attacker. And it's like, can you imagine, like, what you know your child, you know what I mean? You know, and everyone that I've read that talks about this young man says that there's no way that he would have initiated any kind of
right.
you know, confrontation, that he was a good student, he was a good boy.
Yeah.
You know, and he can't be the victim.
Right.
You know, when he so clearly is the victim, now we have to manufacture
right.
these.
Right.
You know?
It's almost as though they wanted to lay this benefit of the doubt for George Zimmerman. It's
right.
like, we're going to give him all the benefit of the
right.
doubt, and we're going to put all the possible suspicion
right.
there might be on the boy who's lying dead on the ground.
Right. Right.
You know, that is telling
right.
of what we're talking about on a societal level.
Right.
They have made it. We may have contributed. I don't know if we're not fighting back hard enough. I'm not sure what the problem is. But we are living in a society where our children are bearing the brunt of suspicion, of paranoia, of terror,
mm-hmm.
of, you know, mm-hmm. repression, of recrimination.
Right.
You know, they live in this kind of poison bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our children.
Yeah.
And the fact that anybody, if you're just looking at that, if anybody looks at this dynamic and finds that they can stand behind some law in Florida
right exactly
that presumes to give that kind of vigilantism
exactly.
power
exactly
in this dense, you know, a society
right.
this dense a population and this dense a paranoia world
mm-hmm.
is mind-boggling.
Right. Well, you know, again, I'm reading because I've been like submerged in this case and honestly it's taken a bit of a toll. It's hard for it not to. But, you know, I'm reading that Zimmerman's attorneys are now, they're saying that, okay, the stand your ground law doesn't apply, that this is self-defense.
Right.
And I guess, how is it self-defense?
Yeah, they haven't presented
any evidence other than the fact that if there was an altercation, that at one point Trayvon may have been getting the best of Zimmerman. Maybe.
A fist fight.
Right, exactly.
Have a fist fight.
Exactly. And, you know, and he deserved whatever Trayvon gave him. He deserved it because he had no right and no business to confront that young man in the way that he did. To stalk him, to confront him.
Right.
And he had no ground.
Right, and to do precisely what the dispatcher told him not to do.
Not to do.
Not follow him.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not faulting the dispatcher, but when you listen to those tapes, you can tell that George Zimmerman was trying to get out of meeting with the police.
Right.
You know, standing still and meeting with the police. He was determined.
He was going to do
something
about it.
Follow him.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah. It was that was amazing. And that's the. That's the cue that you need to know that you are listening to The Defenders Live here on WRIR 97.3. It's Richmond's radio for the rest of us. 97.3 LPFM on your radio dial. And you can listen live at WRIR.org. Live stream it on Mondays from 12 to 12:30. And again, I believe on Tuesdays from 11 and 2 p.m. Thank you for tuning in. We are talking about the Trayvon Martin case. I apologize to my listeners if I'm getting a little emotional. It's, you know, the more we talk about it and the more we talk about the implications in so many directions, the more upsetting, you know, this really becomes, and it behooves us to take that emotion and channel it into effective action and into effective presence. I'm looking at a thing on ABC News on the internet, and it says that his attorney is trying to say that the public is only hearing part of the story, but there is a grand jury scheduled to begin hearing the case on April 10th.
Right.
And so it'll be important for people to be paying attention. He's saying that George Zimmerman suffered a broken nose and had an injury to the back of his head, that he was attacked by Trayvon Martin on that evening, and that this is a case of self-defense.
Right.
But you were listening to, again, him talking to the dispatcher.
Right.
He tracked, followed, chased Trayvon down. Trayvon believed he was under
danger.
Attack.
Exactly.
He was defending himself.
Exactly. And that's the, like I said, even if we believe that there was a physical altercation in which Trayvon was getting the better of George Zimmerman,
God bless him.
Thank you. That's exactly what he should have done. That's exactly what I would teach my children to do. And no one forced George Zimmerman to get out of his car. Like, he was perfectly safe in his car. He initiated this confrontation.
That's right.
So any claims to, I don't understand how he could, I mean, and I'm not a lawyer. So, you know, I'm sure there is a way to legally argue that. But, you know, like, morally, how can you argue self-defense in this case?
Right.
When you're the person who initiated the confrontation, you're the one who had the gun, you're the one who's 10 years older than the person that you're confronting, you're the person who's 100 pounds bigger than the person that you're confronting. How can you claim self-defense in that case, morally?
That's right. And the other thing is that I think that there was an interview with somebody else who is a member of that neighborhood watch organization who claimed that he himself, as nervous as he might have been seeing a young black male, because apparently there had been some break-ins by people they had said or described as young black males, said, you know, if it was him, he might have been carrying a taser, he might have been carrying some pepper spray. But it was also clear that they were, whatever fears that they were dealing with, they were talking about break-ins. They were not talking about assaults. They're not talking about
rapes,
you know, physical attack. Nothing like that.
Nothing that would
all
require
that
gun.
Man had to do was what he had started to do, which was to report what he saw.
Right.
That was it. That was as far as his responsibility needed to go.
Exactly.
This man has a problem, and he exemplifies problems that exist in our cities across the country by people like that who assume some kind of authority, who assume some kind of, you know, Superman complex, or, you know, it must all depend on me because I don't see anything else happening. And, but that's because, you know, what else has he got going on in his life that he needed to focus his entire existence on a duel between his life and Trayvon Martin's life?
Right.
Just it makes me scared. It makes me you know,
exactly
really,
angry. Yeah. You know, and it's like all you can tell people is just, you know, to love your kids. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, just, you know, I see a picture, or I you know, I've seen a picture of Trayvon Martin and his father, and you're like,
they love their
child. Exactly. Like, these people love their children, and then you see all of the images of rallies that people are having, and you're like, this child was really like people that didn't even know him. Like, you realize that he was a loved child, and you hope that he realized that.
Right.
You hope that he knew that.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think because we ascribe sometimes that, you know, kids are not feeling as loved and protected by their communities as they should be, and this goes to you know, it points to the terrors that parents go through, you know, and and children, you know, at a certain point wondering if their parents can protect them, you know, and here, you know, and here we are. And I just read in the paper also that the police officer that was that fired the first bullets at Sean Bell when they sent 50 bullets into that young man as he came out of his bachelor party before he was getting married.
The night before he got married.
It's five and a half years after that happened, and he was found guilty of you know, wrongdoing, you know, 6 months ago, and they have now decided to fire him and allowed the other officers that participated in that with him to retire as of Friday. That's the penalty.
Right. For taking black life.
Yeah.
Right.
Five years later, you get to retire.
Right. No value, you know? And it's like, what do you tell your children, you know, in this atmosphere, in this context, what do you tell them? Like, you know, Trayvon did exactly what he was supposed to do.
And you know what? It's not only telling black people that they have no life. It's telling everybody else that black life has no value.
Right. Exactly.
So
exactly.
Somebody can sit there and factor in. I can prioritize how I deal with stuff. I probably am going to have to formally apologize for my language on this show today. And so I apologize now to the listeners. But in any event, it's too much.
You know.
So there is a vigil, I understand, tonight for.
Yes, there's going to be an action on VCU's Monroe Park campus at 7 p.m. We're asking that people wear their hoodies. I know that there are people are also asking that you bring Skittles and the Arizona iced tea cans. And I think there's going to be some kind of action around that, mailing those to the Sanford Police Department. But if you could, the action will be from, I think, about 7 to 8 or 9 p.m. on VCU's Monroe Park campus in the Commons. And so we're all going to gather there with our hoodies on, and there will be, I think there's going to be a picture taken, and there will be speakers and other activities going on as well.
Monroe campus?
Yes, Monroe Park campus in the Commons.
Okay, in the Commons. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tiamba, for talking about that. And I think we'll probably have to follow up again. April 10th is the grand jury hearing for the case against George Zimmerman in the murder of Trayvon Martin, 17-year-old boy walking home from the store with a bag of Skittles, some iced tea, talking to his girlfriend on the phone.
And listening to his iPod.
Right. I need to just sort of let people know that we'll be talking probably in the next week, in the week after, a little wrap-up about the conference that I was at, the United National Anti-War Coalition Conference, and which took place this past weekend in Stamford, Connecticut, covering some of the pointed discussions around what we do on the ground in terms of organizing at home in a way that impacts the foreign policy actions of the United States government around. In particular, our group's focused on AFRICOM, the Africa Command, whose first major foray into its goals in Africa was the arming and the bombing in Libya and the destruction of the government of Muammar Gaddafi, and that impact immediately on the geopolitical dynamics of the North African region, and including an impact on the nation of Mali and its recent military coup.
Right.
So I want to thank everyone for tuning in to Defenders Live today. Again, I apologize for some of my breaks in language. I don't think I've done that in the 7 years that I've been on this show. And I want to thank Tiamba for being a part of this show now, bringing her clarity and voice to these issues. And we look forward to having some good labor conversations moving forward. Mm-hmm. You can follow some of the things that we're doing. We'll be posting photos, some video, and report backs from the conference and from the work that's going to be done on the Trayvon Martin case, as well as the issue of the Slave Trail Commission resolution that was submitted by Cynthia Newbill, who is the 7th District Council Person representative on the Slave Trail Commission, who brought to the Land Use Committee meeting in March a resolution to end the term limits for the members of the Slave Trail Commission, following an attempt to reduce the numbers of that commission and further solidify what appears to be the de-democratization of a city body that is supposed to be engaged in work for the public good and stewardship in the public good, and has a specific mandate to, at least in terms of our interpretation of the work that they do, reclaiming and putting forward the visibility of Black history in its proper place in the city of Richmond. That resolution has been withdrawn, so the call for people to attend City Council around that tonight has been taken back, and the next Land Use Committee meeting will be reviewed is April 17th, I believe at 2 o'clock, and then the next City Council meeting where it will be addressed is April 30th, that's Monday, and you want to be there before 6 o'clock so that you can get on the agenda. So again, thank you everyone for tuning in to the Defenders Live, defendersfje.org and fje.blogspot.com for more information. Keep up the struggle and remember how terribly important kindness is and fierceness in the face of repression. Thank you for tuning in.
You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's over now. It's over.